All right, Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. As you know, we've been looking, working our way through the Bible, looking at the thought process, and we were talking about the making of God's fishers, and I really feel like the first several chapters dealt with how God was training the disciples and making the fishers of men. But now we kind of see a kind of a shift here to see in the works of Christ and how he's actually doing things, and I think to focus and give his disciples strength and faith to trust him. And so we're just going to look from verses 14 to 22. I'm just going to call this today touching and testing. Touching and testing. And but in Matthew chapter 4, pardon me, Matthew chapter 8, beginning verse number 14, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God today. I thank you for the precious privilege of preaching and just to be one of your children. Lord, you know what needs to take place today. So, Father, you know that if you don't help me, this will be an absolute, complete waste of time. So, Father, I just pray you'll bless me as the preacher, bless all of us as hearers, and may we hear from you what we need, that we can do that which is pleasing in your sight. We ask this in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Now, in beginning verse number 14, if you're taking notes mentally or physically, I call number one this the touch for faithful service. The touch for faithful service. Because verse 14, the Bible says, when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And this is kind of amazing, the more I thought about this. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And now this is, I mean, no doubt Jesus can do anything that he wants to do. He has power, but immediately after being healed, the Bible says, and she rose and ministered unto them. I mean, he went over to the house to visit. The lady's sick, there of a fever. Jesus touches her and says, now that I'm doing better, I might as well serve you. and she ministered unto them. And I think about myself how easy it is to look at all the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that's manifested in the Scriptures. And I look at it often, I think, for God to do something in me, empower me, strengthen me, heal me, help me, that I might be able to do well in this life, as opposed to him touching me for the sole purpose of raising me up to minister unto people. Now, for me, it's probably a little bit easier since I'm actually, quote-unquote, a minister, or called to be a minister, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's still, in the practical sense, you know, there's things I do that are what I would call just your normal secular tasks, and maybe whether it be work around the house or working on the finances or paying bills and using my physical strength to help my neighbors or things like that, and that might not always be considered as spiritual, so to speak. But when God really wants to touch us, and I think if we really look at the manifestation of his power as that which will give us to serve him, it makes a difference. You know, I think many times that's why people that believe God, they don't have what I would call an encouraging or strong lives, because by the way Christ is presented sometimes, or religion itself, for lack of a better term, is presented, that religion is something for me rather than Christ being life in me, that I might manifest that life to others. And if you think about the reality of, again, why Jesus came to the earth, he came to the earth for the Heavenly Father and for the world. And he said, I do always those things that please him. So every bit of strength and power that Jesus needed was to please God. You know, but it's amazing how Satan has us oftentimes because of responsibility and problems and situation to where God gets the leftovers of our life and we find ourselves begging God for strength just to make it through just different tasks on the job. And I thank God that when I was working secular work, every job I had, to me, that was the mission field. And yeah, sure, it paid bills, but I looked at that. That was the people I was pastoring. That's the people I was trying to reach. And every job was an opportunity for me to reach them for Christ. And that didn't mean I spent 24 hours, I mean, all the work hours witnessing to them, because you have to work or they'll fire you. But at the same time, you pray for the opportunity, and you're looking for the opportunity to share Christ with them. And when Christ is your life, it just comes out in natural conversation. You know, if people complain about the weather, I say, well, praise God. You know, I mean, if it's raining, well, God rains on the just and the unjust. You know, God gave the rain, helped the flowers to grow, and helped fruits and vegetables. And somebody complains about the government. Well, praise God that, you know, God can turn the hearts of the king whithersoever it will. So maybe we just need to pray that God turn the heart of the king or the heart of the president, the heart of the prime minister, so that God will use him in such a way to where God's power can be manifested or glorified. You know, or somebody complains about the boss, you know, and I said, well, you know, Colossians 3:23 says that whatsoever ye do, do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. So as bad as my boss may be, here's an opportunity for me to please God by working for him in a proper way. You know, and so I found that through the years that in those impossible situations, God would touch me even on the workplace for faithful service unto him. And then going home, like as some of you know, when I used to hang live turkeys, you know, and God specifically sent me down there to do that job, I would beg him for strength so that he would be glorified by the way I would do that work, you know. And just like when the Satanist opposed me and said, you'll never make it on that job. And I said, no, when this is over, I'm giving you the short version today, you'll know that my God is God, you know, and God blessed, and he worked through that. And then when I would finish work and try to go home, and I knew my children needed me, I parked the car before I got home, and I said, Lord, I'm tired, I'm hurt. Lord, you know my heart, I don't want to see anybody, but I know that those children will be waiting for me, and I want to be a good pauper for them. So, Lord, please give me strength. Please give me power. Please somehow give me the strength to pick them up in my hands and like they like me to, and give me a heart and attitude to invest in them. And God gave me strength to serve him and to please him, because all those children are his. They're his heritage. They belong to him, and he wants every single one of them to be used for his honor and his glory, so God would touch me for faithful service. And just like he did Peter's wife's mother here, and or mother-in-law, as we call them today. But it's funny, when I went to the U.S. in April, and I was traveling, and I was mentioning to somebody I was going to see my mother-in-law, and they said, is your wife with you? I said, no. And I said, so you're going to see your mother-in-law, and your wife's not there. You know, I said, yeah, I love my mother-in-law. And it's like, man, that's different. There's all these different kind of jokes. I don't know if they're about, you know, your mother-in-law is not the nicest person in the world, but I thank God I love mine, you know. Jesus comes into the house. Here's someone that basically is helpless. And from the moment she's touched, she rises with a vision to serve and minister to Jesus and those who are followers of Jesus. Number two, the touch to fulfill the scriptures. Number two, the touch to fulfill the scriptures. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with the devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now we see Jesus manifesting power for the sole purpose of fulfilling the scriptures. And, you know, God, you know, it's ordained that you and I should be pleasing in the sight of God. And that's his plan. That's his choice. And, You know, when we got into different verses, like we already quoted Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, God will work through His Word so that the reality that He keeps His Scriptures is very true. You know, and when I recognize that, and I'm looking to pursue His will, it gives me great confidence that God will actually touch me, touch my circumstance, touch my situation. When I look at all the things, when He said the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be apt to teach and patient with all men. When I need to minister, God will touch me with patience and allow me not to strive. And when He said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. You know, I was coming up Sterling Avenue yesterday, and there's this light, and this group of kids were coming through there, and my light was green. They were about to step right out in the middle, and I honked in the horn, not because I was mad at them, but I didn't want them to get hit, you know, and so they immediately start saluting me, and thank you, man. Y'all know what I mean by saluting me. They did a vulgar sign to let me know that they were not happy with me. You know, and I had my window down and just had my car, and I just raised my hand and said, "Hey, I love you." And unfortunately, they did not respond and say they loved me in return. But they didn't jump in the car or anything, so I kept on rolling. But there was a time where I would have parked the car. There's a time when I parked the car, and they said, "What?" I didn't take my belt off for those kids. I mean, they were teenagers, but my mom got a whole new belt when I was older sometime too. So some of them really just need it, you know. But anyway, but God had filled my heart with concern for them. And it's funny, I could see one of them's face, and I thought to myself how lost that individual was. And that's thoughts that God put in my heart. And, you know, and we're supposed to be, let our speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. And God allowed that to be in me to fulfill the Scripture. That's the life I'm supposed to live. And we need to have a burden and compassion, you know. And I was taken back to how arrogant I was as a young person that thought I could run my life and thought I knew everything and didn't want to listen to anybody. But Jesus here, He comes into the towns and those who were possessed with devils, he cast out spirits with His word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. You know, God wants to take care of His children, that the world will know that He really is a good Father. When God gave us His model prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And all these things He put in there that as we pray, you know, that the world could see manifested through us that God really cares for His children. And when you're looking for God's help, that's why we need to meditate in the Scriptures. And then when we see we are resting in something what God has said, we can believe in God and trust Him in the situation even being possible. Paul, you know, Paul said, I know how to be hungry. I know how to be full. And he said, Paul knew how to be content in all situations. The Bible says in Hebrews, let your conversation be without covetousness, but be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, and when we walk in those situations, God, you know what God will do to us? He shows us His comfort in those situations so that the world can see that His children are comforted according to the Scriptures. And when we yield to Him and follow Him and we're faithful, when the fruit of love comes out and the fruit of peace comes out and goodness and temperance and faith and all these things, God touches us for that fruit to come out of us according to the Scriptures. And He wants us to be filled in that way, and He does all those things. And as He's working with His disciples here, they're watching, they're seeing all these things, and they're seeing, wait a minute, this power that Jesus is manifesting is just like God said. And that's how you think about when He went through the temptations with Christ, with the Satan attacking Him, He simply said, it is written, it is written, it is written. So number one, the touch for faithful service. Number two, the touch to fulfill the Scriptures. And last of all, the test of following the Savior. The test of following the Savior. In verse 18, the Word of God says, And when Jesus saw great multitudes about Him, and he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So Jesus is trying to get him to understand, number one, that following Jesus must be first before comfort. You know, and you've heard me say before, but I'm always amazed when I think back how Jesus is the perfect example of everything. You know, since God wrote the Bible and he wrote his prophecies and fulfilled them, he could have just as easily staged it where he'd be coming back, coming in 2018, ride through Jerusalem in an air-conditioned vehicle. Or he could have picked any place. He could have had the Jews in North America if he wanted to. And he could have arranged to come to the earth in the most plush and perfect lifestyle. But, you know, God chose to come to the earth when there's no running water, no air conditioning, no 24-hour convenience store just to go grab something when you want a snack. I mean, no OHIP, no health care. Of course, he was health care. So he didn't need that. But amen. Praise God for that. But all these things, you think about that, someone's going to follow him. And Jesus now, it's almost like he's saying, now you understand. I think you really know who I am. Because he says, Master, and there's a capital M here. He's speaking to Jesus with authority. And I sincerely believe that he has a heart. I believe he really has intention on following through what he said. But Jesus said, you need to understand what it really is like to follow me. You know, you just witnessed me going into healing an entire city and people praising me. But I don't have a plush hotel to go stay in after the meeting's over. I don't have a place to lay my head. I don't even know where Jesus is saying, God, as he came to earth, Jesus is saying, after all the miracles he manifested, I don't even know where I'm going to sleep tonight. It's funny, but that's the magnitude of and the importance of really following Jesus. It must come before our comfort. Then he says here, another one comes to him, and another of his disciples said to him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And that's pretty insensitive. Now, you know, my dad's 83, and he's got a new recent battle with health. And we actually, as you many of you know, I thought he was going to die last year. And something else is going on now. And I think of how others that have lost their fathers or mothers or close loved ones, and I mean, how difficult it'd be not to go home and see the body that one last time, and be at the family and to experience that closure. And I wrote a note like this: following Jesus must be first before closure. Now I'm not telling you to don't go to another funeral, but Jesus is trying to. He's trying to drive home, do you understand the real magnitude of what it's about to follow Jesus? I know for myself, when I came here, I really had no idea what I was doing. And I knew the gospel was important. I knew the gospel would save people and change lives. But I really had more of this constructive idea, and I believe in the authority of the church, And I think I really had more of an idea of trying to get this institution going, trying to help God build the institution that he said he would build, and trying to create an environment so that we could have a good organization by which we could be encouraged to continue to serve God. And I think there's some truth in that. However, what makes the organization, what it is the organism, I should say, of the Lord's church, what it ought to be, is each of us really just following Jesus. And following him in such a way to basically that whatever God speaks to you, you better do it no matter what anybody else is doing. And whatever God speaks to me, I better do it. I don't care what anybody else is doing. You know, instead of finding a gauge. Well, you know what? I'm pretty sure what the Bible says, but you know what? I don't see any other believers living like this. I don't see none. I mean, think about this. Okay, what we just read. Can you imagine? You know, I mean, and to me, I'm thinking about this. Okay, now he's following Jesus right now. And Jesus is going forth. He's going to be preaching the gospel. And apparently, the magnitude of what's going on at that moment was, it was of such importance that if this man's follower died, he's not supposed to stop what he's doing. He must continue on with Jesus. This is the words of Jesus. This is not some preacher saying you be loyal and don't miss a Sunday. You know, this is God. You know, so and when you think about it like that, like you think, wow. It makes you kind of revamp and think, what am I really involved in? What am I really doing when I say I'm following Jesus? I'm not talking about just being a. It seems like to me, like you folks know me. You know, I mean, if you have a loved one die, I don't care if you go to the funeral. In fact, I left you to go preach my mother's funeral. And so I'm not in another and. My dear brother just left to bury his sister, you know, and so I don't believe any of those things are wrong. But there's something he's trying to get us to see that there is a of what we're involved in following Christ is of such magnitude that the most difficult emotional struggle that we could possibly go through is not more important than following Jesus. So that must be laid aside in order to go forward to follow God. And that's why he said, many men come after me, he must and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, and his children, he cannot be my disciple. You know, so and when I hear that allows me to kind of think, you know what? Okay, what I was thinking about coming here is a little bit different, you know, as far as and it's much more important than building a church per se. I must have an intimate relationship with God because see, right here in this context, it was no question who was speaking to them. But even right now, I'm preaching, but you have to be alone with God to find out, well, God, what does this really mean for me? How does it apply to me? Because if I'm just making some strong plea for you to do something, that's not enough. You need to know what God wants you to do. And once you know what God wants you to do, you must follow God before your comfort, and you must follow God before any closure or any strong emotional tie commitment that you have, you know, and like I said, that to me is so it's got to be something more than just showing up for church or to be faithful all the time, you know what I mean? So something greater than that. And so I wrote in my Bible, God spoke to me about this also. The greatest weakness of my life as a child of God is that I often say that I will follow God instead of simply just following. The scribe could clearly see where Jesus was at. Therefore, a statement was not necessary. Action was necessary. Because he didn't really need to tell Jesus he was going to follow him. He could see where he was at. He just needed to do it. You know, I know sometimes, you know, like I talk about dedication. You know, I keep a journal. And I think they're good. It helps me remind everything. But sometimes I write in my journal when I feel like, God, okay, Lord, this is the time. Time to get focused. I'm going to go forward, blah, blah, blah. You spoke me in this area. And that's good, but it's better if I just do it. and so here they make these powerful statements, but Jesus really gives them a test of following the Savior. He said, now you call me master. And I really think the probably the best way to interpret what's going on here is when you said when you said you would follow me, did you really mean anything? Did you really mean anywhere? Did you really mean when you said I would follow you that if I told you something, you really would do anything that I wanted you to do? Now, see, I had to find a lot of that out in the ministry. A lot of things I thought were good and that were right. God has really said, no. Now, you said, you know, you remember when you surrendered, you know, you said you gave me your life. And now that it's not happening the way you want it to happen, is it still your life? You still in? You know, I was thinking about this morning. You've heard me say before, possibly something. I was thinking about Paul, you know, when he's writing the Bible, man, he's in jail. You know, I mean, he's not in some plush office, you know, and Some people are praising him for writing the Word of God. You know, we can imagine. I mean, he's being used to write the inerrant, infallible Word of God, and he's in jail. I mean, he's not in some synagogue where people praise him. Man, this is a great man of God. Man, he's in jail. I mean, so he's finished in his ministry with no applause, no earthly glory. But man, aren't you glad that God used him to write the Bible? Amen. Aren't you glad that when Jesus wanted him to follow him, that when, remember what the Holy Spirit told, just like here, when Ananias was supposed to go baptize him? And he said these words, Ananias, because Ananias was like, are you sure? He said, I've heard how he caused me to suffer by him. I'm paraphrasing. But he said, he's a chosen vessel unto me. I must show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And so God's touch, God gives us a test. Are we really ready to follow the Savior? You know, do we really believe that he is life itself? You know, because, you know, modern day religion really paints this picture that, you know, I mean, God's just going to help me do everything and get everything and just be everything here. And, you know, God's not against prosperity. If you read you read Old and New Testament, you see God blessing his children. And especially when you get the revelation here about how he eternally blesses them and placed all heaven. But to get to those blessings sometimes, there's a road that we must go through that we might not necessarily want to travel. And the follow on that road might not always end up the way that we want to be. Turn to John chapter 19 and we'll bring this to a close. John chapter 19, I think is where I want to go. John 21. Now, if you may know in the Bible, this is where Jesus, he talks to Peter, and he asks Peter three times, do you love me? And Peter responds, you know, well, you know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And so finally, in verse 18 of John 21, Jesus speaks to Peter. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he has spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Now, he's pretty much told Peter that how he's going to end. It's going to be, you know, when you're young, you got liberty, you can do what you want to do. When you're old, basically you're going to be in bondage. Somebody's going to take you someplace you don't want to go. And when he finished saying it, because of verse 19 again, this spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. He's telling Peter, this is how you're going to die, to glorify me. You're going to be bound, and you're going to be taken against your will to glorify me and die that way. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ, with that is love itself, told one of his disciples. And then he said, no. To encourage him, he said, no. He probably, because he knows us all. He knows Peter's flesh like we are. Follow me. Follow me. My example. Follow me. Follow my instruction. I just told you how you're going to die, how I want you to die. I need you to stay submitted and follow me. Then Peter, kind of like I would probably do. Now, if God spoke to me right now, then Peter turned about, look at his disciples, and said, what about these? What are these supposed to do? Because he said, then Peter turned about, see the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? He said, oh, Lord, you just let me know how I'm going to die to glorify you. And I'm willing to follow you, but is it going to be as bad for him as it is for me? And Jesus says to him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And so back in our text, it really, this test for following the Savior is that are we really willing to be intimate enough with God to where when He speaks instructions to us, we'll follow those instructions if it means a worst, is that the way I want to say it, a worse set of earthly circumstances than another follower of Jesus? That's what it's supposed to be. You know, I think often about the different martyrs of different countries right now. I'm thinking about God blessing with 6 children. I'm thinking about some martyrs have watched their children die because of the faith they have in the name of Jesus. You know, in North America, we just worry if our kids are going to have good jobs and not have to struggle financially. That's what we think about in North America. But we don't really think about the threat of them having to actually be put to death because I'm following Jesus Christ. But I need to be willing to do that. And I need to have a relationship with God so that when I begin to expend myself and live my life and I begin to work toward my death in the manner that God has spoken to me to glorify Him, I've got to be content with simply following Him no matter what anybody else is doing. And may I put it like this? Now, and see, I want to clarify, no matter what anyone else has been chosen to do by Jesus. Because in the flesh we could justify, well, they're not doing as much as they should. Whereas we don't have any idea what everybody else really is supposed to be doing. Only really them and God. No, when there's some we can look at some biblical, of course, commandments and things like that, as far as you take fornication and sin and things like that, they shouldn't be involved in. But as far as the will of God for their life, they might not be called to suffer like God has chosen me or you to suffer and to go through circumstances. And we have to have such a, if we're really sincere about our following Jesus Christ, then wherever He says to go, whatever set of circumstances He says comes with that, and if my circumstances in an earthly sense be horrendous, and a brother or sister beside me, man, they just kind of so easy. God may have chosen them for that. Okay, He created you for a purpose, and He created them for a purpose. And just like Jesus told Peter, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Hey, if it's my will that John doesn't suffer at all, and he's alive till I come back, what does that mean to you? I told you to follow me. I mean, I'm the master. And from the context, he's a good master. He doesn't make mistakes. And so if it really is his will that the way that we are meant to follow him is difficult, then praise God. But don't get bitter if God has chosen another brother or sister to have a pretty good life in an earthly sense, you know. And I mean, you know, God has some people with money to give the people that don't have money. And I mean, God's blessed me with great health to serve my wife that doesn't have great health and to serve in the health. You know, it took me a while to understand those things, you know. And that is the platform in which God works His power through me and humbles me to really realize, hey, Lord, I'm okay with your plan. I really am. You know, so Matthew 8, touching and testing. Are you willing to have God touch you for the sole purpose of serving others? Are you willing to be used of God that He might touch you just so the Word of God be fulfilled in your life? How do we really feel about following Jesus? Just for Him, you know. And I tell you, I want to be like everything I just preached. But I tell you, you know, and when you're reading the Bible, and you know, the only way it can happen, we must continually look at the person of Jesus Christ. Because when you look at the life Jesus lived, you think, hey, oh, that's okay. But if we pattern our life if what we think to be even other faithful disciples, then that's when we get discouraged. But when we look at the life of the one that was used to purchase our salvation, oh, sure, Lord. Again, Lord, you had everything, and you came to earth at this time. You lived in this set of circumstances. You endured the cross. You're God, and you one moment you heal the entire town, and the next minute everybody's cursing you and mocking you, saying, physician, heal yourself. And they've seen you heal everybody in the community, in the town, and they're mocking you like that. And then you want me to be faithful. And Lord, you know the things I put aside. You know how I've tried to follow you and try to do that which is right. And you're still going to get misunderstood, misrepresented, slandered. You know, Jesus was. But what happens through that all is that name that he gave you. See, Jesus was exalted because God gave him a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when you live up to the name God gave you, not necessarily in the earthly sense, but the realm he's chosen you, God himself will honor you for that name he's given you. And when God himself honors you and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, whatever it is we had to go through, then when we hear those words, you'd be like, wow, it was worth it all. Amen. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for time today to be with you. We thank you for these precious people that have assembled themselves together for thy name's sake. And God, you know what's in our hearts, and you know what needs to happen for each of us to truly glorify you in the way to be pleasing unto yourself. There are a lot of things I'd like to ask right now, but Lord, I guess the best way for me to say it, for every heart in this room, including my own, thy will be done through the powerful and almighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ.